Okay, so those are the top 10 stories. I just want to say a few words about your story, which is what this all means to you. One of the things that has really been underscored for me by the pushdown in precious metals is the extent to which many people in our networks were depending on gold and silver to be there in the worst case and were convinced or persuaded of a collapse scenario. As I've said many times, I give very little or very small odds to the collapse scenario. I think collapse is a selective and sequential process. It's not a big bang process. We've certainly seen all sorts of areas around the world and populations collapse. But I don't think the collapse of the dollar or the collapse of the military industrial complex or the collapse of what I call the breakaway civilization is a likely event. If anything, you're going to see a growth scenario in North America with new technology coming back and the need to build, as I said, Joseph Farrow's words, a very high precision distributed manufacturing base made possible by the changes in sort of the blossoming of domestic energy from all the different sources. So don't bet the ranch on collapse. And I believe that gold and silver are, and having a core position in gold and silver are very useful, but there is nothing more important in investing in building the future that we want to see. There are places where we can align with the powers that be, I believe. So I think the shift out of a debt and bond model and into an equity model is a good one. I think there's a lot of new technology that will become available that can make life much better for the not just people of North America, but people all around the world. And I see it every day in the kind of companies that are taking this technology and doing wonderful, very practical applications with it. And so in the field of healthcare, in the field of consumer goods, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of things. And so remember that the best protection in a world that's changing is not to be prepared with your dehydrated food and gold and silver for the worst case or the collapse case. You want to be part of the solutions. We had a wonderful interview with Neil Howe in the first quarter, and he talked about the fourth turning and what a dangerous time it was. But it is also a time where you can focus on the opportunity of providing leadership into the fourth turning. We all need to be part of real solutions and jumping the curve on the fourth turning. If you haven't listened to that interview, it's a wonderful one. And to me, there's not enough time to both protect yourself against all the risks, which are manifold, and to be part of being a leader and providing leadership on real solutions. Now, real solutions are different for everybody. What I can do in as I travel around is different than what you can do if you live in Hong Kong, or you can do if you live in London, or you can do if you live in Tulsa. We each are different. We each have different skills and interests, but you want to be part of contributing to real solutions, and that's one of the reasons we've made this year on the Solaria Report the year of coming clean. Because the one thing I can do, and this gets us back to the red button problem, I can reduce the system's dependency. By reducing the system's my dependency on getting checks from the machinery, and becoming more economically resilient or more self-sufficient or more healthy, by coming clean myself, I can reduce the pressure on the military industrial complex to go out there and steal more to keep my checks coming. So part of this is simply coming clean, each in our own right, and doing what we can do to say, okay, where are the opportunities in this for me to be a leader and to provide a contribution, including one that will provide a job or an income for me? And I assure you that they are there. So you want to focus on where the strength is coming from. Where is the growth coming? Because the economy is changing. And yes, there are many worlds that are dying, but there are also many worlds that are being born, and a lot of good and exciting stuff. The big unanswered question is the same as always. Who's really running things, and why are they behaving the way they're behaving? I think one of the things that's going to come up, because this is the 50th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, and it's also a time when more and more people are talking about breakthrough energy technology, the question has got to be asked and answered: who owns and operates all these UFOs that are flying around and everybody keeps seeing? And what is the story on space travel? We have Gary McKinnon, the hacker, hacking into the DOD websites and databases and finding, he says, records of star fleets run by the Navy that are sailing around the galaxy. We have, as I said before, you know, Silicon Valley entrepreneurs saying we ought to do private spaceships off to go mining into space. We have the Russian premier, as he turns power back over to Putin, talking about, if you want to understand what's going on with ET and on the planet, you need to go watch Men in Black. So we have all sorts of conversations about this. What I will tell you as a financial person and one who's worked in government is the black budget is the driving force in how the economy is managed globally. And if you look at how much money is going into the black budget, I just saw a videotape of Michael Sala, whose website is X-Politics, predicting that the black budget is now costing $1.7 trillion annually. That number is reasonable. It would not surprise me. Now, the secrecy to me is a very challenging thing for everybody. The secrecy is challenging for all of us who are grappling with the kind of financial fraud which is being used to finance the black budget, I believe. A great study out of a group of reporters at the Washington Post several years ago about top secret America and the extent to which it's out of control. Because when you're operating with these kinds of secrecy and you're operating without market systems that can, or transparency that can permit optimization, it's very, very difficult to hold things together and to keep it from sort of exploding financially into a ridiculous bureaucracy that just grows and grows and grows without any kind of performance metrics. And I think holding that kind of effort together without some cultural glue, without a spirit and a philosophy of what you're trying to accomplish is very, very difficult. So the cost of secrecy is becoming very... It's always been very expensive, but to me, it's reaching a tipping point. And so I think there's going to be a lot more conversation. Every time somebody tries to deride me for bringing up this conversation, I keep saying, look, you know, I can't prove that new energy or breakthrough energy technology exists, but I'll tell you something, those UFOs are not gassing up at Exxon. So I want to know, somebody's got anti-gravity, somebody's got amazing propulsion technology, somebody is doing something that is other than fossil fuel, and it's time we know about it. Because if you look at the financial model on the planet, the financial fraud is exhausting us. It's financing all sorts of invisible technology transfer and development, and we're not getting the benefit of that technology coming back. I think a little bit is going to be sneaking out with the fabrication technology and the material sciences, and that's because, to me, the black budget guys need, as Dr. Joseph Farrell brilliantly described, they need a very high precision, sophisticated, distributed manufacturing capability. And so they're going to have to let some of the technology out so that we can proceed to make the tools and equipment that they need. Anyway, we have operated for decades with enormous amounts of material emission. We're all sitting here trying to manage our time and our assets without talking about the most important financial issues before us, which is, you know, where is this $1.7 trillion a year going, and why do we have this enormous fraud infrastructure to finance it? And to me, it's reaching, well, to me, it reached a breaking point a long time ago, but I see it reaching a breaking point in many other people's minds, and I'm hopeful that we can inspire an honest conversation.